They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Karen. Well, Pastor Tom Palmer, and it's a joy to be with you this day as we worship God on this Sunday as we move toward Easter, 2 weeks from today, Easter Sunday. And so we've been talking about being a work in progress, and Lent is really about that work in progress. We're a work in progress, we're a work in progress chancel area. I believe that's a little loud. We're a work in progress in our sound and our chancel area here today. I want to say by Easter Sunday there will be the kneeling rails back in where we can pray and receive communion. It won't be today, but it will be coming. We will, you'll see the choir will be back, I assure you. There's primer on the wall, and so we didn't want our choir to be falling out under the odor of the primer and getting the rose with the primer. So it's a work in progress, but I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress. And this faith of ours is a work in progress. A work in progress. This time of year, I'm reminded of that as young people grow. Yesterday, we celebrated our oldest son's 26th birthday, and the person he was when he was six, he's different now than he was, and we grow and we develop, but this time of year, it reminds me of the many Saturdays and weekends that we spent out on the baseball diamonds of Flower Mound, a part of the YMCA baseball leagues for young ones, Coach Pitch. We spent a lot of Saturday afternoons out there. And one particular young man stands out. I know he's different today than what he was then. I'm going to call him Braden. That wasn't his name. But Braden was a part of the team, and we go out there for the game, and the coach would prepare the players, you know, try to coach them a little bit, talk about the game that was ahead. These were, you know, young persons, and so, do you have any questions after he kind of set the stage for what was ahead? Do you have any questions? And Braden would shoot up his hand, and he said, "Okay, Braden, what's your question?" And he said, "What snacks are we going to have today? What snacks are we going to have today?" Okay, and the coach said, "Oh, I don't know. I think they're Country Time lemonade, little juice pouches, and brownie bites, or something like that." And he'd say, "Oh no, I like the marshmallow treats better, and I like Sunny D." And then he'd coach a little bit more and ask any other questions. And Braden would put up his hand. And he says, "When can we have snacks? When can we have snacks? After the game, Braden. After the game, Braden." But it's amazing. After the game, you know, Braden kind of took his time around the base paths, you know, when he got on base, you know. But when it was the end of the game and it was time for snacks, he shot. He had speed. He had conviction. And he made it first every time. He was first to the snacks. Particularly when they're the marshmallow treats. He was first to the snacks. He was getting his snacks and his Sunny D. And for him, it just seemed like that baseball was something that you kind of bided your time through to get to the main thing, the snacks. And that the season was something that you just kind of made your way through until you got to the team party at CC's Pizza. Every year we had a CC's Pizza where they would give trophies to every player, participation trophies to every player of that team that was ranked fifth in a vast league of five teams. It seemed like that in the midst of it all, he was just kind of clueless as to what baseball was about, other than uniforms, snacks after the game, and getting a trophy at the end of the year. But that's a human thing. We see that in Jesus' disciples as they go toward Jerusalem. Jesus is trying to clue them in as to what this journey is about. He's trying to coach them as they move toward Jerusalem. And in our text that Karen read for us today, friends, it's the third time that Mark records that Jesus prepared his disciples, clued them in to what was going to happen in Jerusalem. The third time he said, and this was the third time he was the most specific. He said, we're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be rejected by the religious leaders. They're going to hand me over to the Gentiles, and they're going to reject me, spit upon me, mock me. They're going to flog me. And sometimes we don't know what, you know, flogging, it just has a word to us. I think we have a picture of a, that's kind of the image of what it was. There were these brands, these metal brands in the midst of the leather strips. And the goal was to tear the back apart. They will flog me and they will kill me. And they knew, the disciples knew, killing meant crucifixion because that was the only outcome for someone like Jesus. And crucifixion, friends, was the most sadistic method of capital punishment that has ever been devised. Arguably the most sadistic because with every movement where the nails were positioned, every movement sent a shot of pain because of where it was in relation to the nerve, the sciatic nerve. So every breath, every movement would be excruciating. That's where we get the word excruciating from the same root. And so Jesus was explaining all this, preparing the disciples, coaching the disciples, cluing them in. But then we have this moment that's kind of like out on the baseball field. It's kind of like what happened in Flower Mound. We have two disciples kind of, oh, Jesus, we have a question. And it's akin to snacks and trophies. It's like they weren't even tuning in to what he was saying. As he said, we have a question for you. And I can just kind of see Jesus almost taking a deep breath. We have something we want you to do for us. What is it you want me to do for you? Lord, when you come into your kingdom, we want to be at your right hand and your left hand. You're going to need somebody there, and it might as well be us. We want to be those who are with you in your glory. We want the glory positions, Jesus. We want the glory. You know, they were wanting something that nothing had really prepared them for. They had not prepared for what that would be. It would be like an actress getting a bit part in a movie and then practicing her acceptance speech for the Academy Awards. It would be like a rookie having a good game and thinking the Hall of Fame is coming my way. It would be someone who's never even been to Lubbock, Texas, watching the game last night and say, we won. That's an interesting word. We won. It would be akin to, in the spiritual realm, having an ordination party. I was ordained 30 years ago this year. Having an ordination party. They always have that ordination party, and you get your picture with the bishop, and thinking that's the apex of ministry. It would be like maybe someone shopping for a church and saying, I want a church that has services for me and my family, but I don't want to serve. I want donuts, but I never want to volunteer. I don't want an imperfect church, but I don't want to really invest in myself and making it better. There's this wanting in James and John. They want the glory. They want the end game, but they don't want to do what is necessary to experience that. So Jesus says to them, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? And they say, yeah. I mean, how hard could that be? We're able. And Jesus says, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism I'm baptized with, you will be baptized with. But to grant this position at my right hand and left hand in my glory is not for me to grant. It's for whom it has been prepared. This is going to require preparation. Glory is not something you can order on Prime. Glory is not something that you can download while you go get a cup of coffee. Glory is something that God works in us as we follow Jesus as disciples. Glory is that work in progress work that Jesus does in every soul. Working His love into every life. Who is willing? James and John didn't know really what they were asking for. But the other disciples, hearing them ask for it, how do you think they responded? They were ticked. They were angry. They were words I would not use in church or ever. They were really, really upset. Indignant. And in this moment, Jesus calls the 12 together. And He says, I need you to know something. Listen up. Listen in. Tyrants of this world, the leaders of this world, they are all about ego. They are all about lording it over others. Leaders in this world, that's the way leadership is. Misuse of power. But it will not be that way among you. Because those of you who will be first and greatest must be the last. And the servant of all. Because the Son of Man. Now, I want to pause there for a minute. He says this phrase, Son of Man. And Son of Man is a quote from the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, it talks about one like a Son of Man that will come in great glory. I think we have a picture of that. It talks about His dominion as an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That this one, this Son of Man, is going to come with great glory. And so Jesus said, the Son of Man, that's me. That Jesus would come and be the Son of Man, this person of great glory. But the person of great glory did not come to be served, but to serve. See, what Jesus is saying is the greatest glory of human life is a person who knows their place as a child of God and serves others. One who knows how deeply they are loved by God and therefore they can love others, they can care about others. They don't walk in a room and say, here I am. They walk in the room and say, there you are. Jesus did not come to be served, to sit and have someone serve Him. He came to serve. That is a radical departure from what we think of greatness. We think of greatness as being able to have servants. Jesus says greatness is to be a servant, to be loved enough, to be strong enough, to be empowered enough by the Holy Spirit, to make a legacy of life and love and service. Jesus says, will you be loved enough to live out a legacy of greatness, true greatness? And that is love. That is service. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. The word ransom is a word in that day. It meant a price that was paid to buy someone back from captivity. And so someone who was captured by another army, so to speak, or maybe they were enslaved in some way. It was a price that was paid that would buy that person back from captivity. See, Jesus is about, in the cross, buying us back from captivity to our own selfish agendas and egos and all that the world says, this is greatness. He's freeing us from that captivity to an ego-centered life, a self-serving life, a self-glorifying life. He's bringing down that tower that is all about me and personal glory. Well, the tower doesn't come down yet. But this world defines greatness. Glory. We want the glory. We want it. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, lay it down and live a life in my love. Let me ransom you in my love. I believe the strongest people in this world are those who know they are loved by God eternally. And they can love regardless of the circumstances they're in. That's the hardest thing, and that's true greatness. True greatness is determined by a question. Do I want to be served? Or do I want to serve? Will I be loved by this God who says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest and love and life. He says, come unto me and be loved so you can love. Come unto me so that you can live a life, a legacy of service. Who do we remember? We truly remember those who have loved us, who have served, who have given themselves. That's the people we remember. That's the people we are grateful for. And friends, that's the people we can be. Come to this table and get a taste of the freedom, a taste of the love, a taste of the grace that empowers us to live lives that are not about us and our egos and our glory, but about service and God's greatness. Come and be loved. And come and be strengthened for the journey ahead, that work in progress journey ahead. And let's be a people of love and service. That's where greatness really is. That's our destiny as the children of God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the love that you gave us as you journeyed to Jerusalem, as you were willing to experience the rejection and experience all the excruciation and the crucifixion, all that you did to declare to us that we are forgiven and that we are loved and that it is finished. It's been done. We've been given this gift as the very children of God through Jesus Christ. Oh God, may we live out our identity following the one who came not to be served but to serve and to give our lives. As we've been loved, may we love. As we come to this table, may we experience afresh what it is to be the very children of God and go from this moment of grace to serve in your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.